And as I prepared this, and I believe there's a lot to come, I believe the Lord really spoke into my ear and said, the battle is the Lord's. Amen. The battle is the Lord's. But we have to know that. You see, like all of these things, it is a revelation that is revealed to us. And so the battle, which is the Lord's, we have to know that experientially in our hearts. But all of that, I believe, will come out. And I have a title for these teachings over the next few weeks, which is Stand Fast in the Power of His Might. Stand Fast in the Power of His Might. And of course, we're taking this from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm taking this up and I'm starting with verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 10, which says here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, this of course leads towards putting on the whole armour of God. That is what this portion of scripture is about, and we've read it many times, we've probably got it underlined, and so forth. Yet, I wonder how many experience what the apostle is saying here with regard to the whole armour of God. As I say, we're going to lead in towards this, and we trust and believe that this is going to help us to be equipped with what is coming upon the earth. I heard last week on Radio 4 something that caused my ears to prick up, and this guy was being interviewed, and in Sweden they are now offering a chip to go into the hand of which will hold your bank details, and if you are at work or whatever, you just place it at the door and the door will open automatically. It's got various things. And he said this is now available. You can buy it, it's not expensive. And he was giving all the positive ideas of why it's so good, and how we can lose things so easily, and come helps to deal with fraud, all the usual things, isn't it, that sounds so logical. Mm. Now, all this high tech that we have today, actually, or it has a good side to it in some ways, but it's also a burden. Mm-hmm. And the burden is, we have to make sure that our handbags or our wallets don't get stolen. We have to make sure that they don't get our bank details. We know all the fraud that is going on and all the protection that is needed, and so on. You know it. And so this causes vexation, doesn't it? It causes us to try and be anxious, you know? And we've all probably experienced where we thought we lost our wallet or we lost our bank cards or whatever it is, and that feeling of panic and so forth, it's all designed to try and control us, to prepare us for the mark of the beast that is coming in. This is how Satan is working with these demonic powers. Now the Lord is delivering us from all of that, because we know in scriptures that the believer is not to participate in any of this. Now, what is happening is it's being brought in subtly on a voluntary level. So it will be there, and it's a good idea. And it will save a lot of this hassle and a lot of this anxiety and so forth. And my ears really pricked up to this. And they all thought it was a great idea. All this technology that is coming on the horizon, and AI, artificial intelligence, that is mega. And the world thinks it's great. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I don't always recommend that you look at the TV, because most of it is trash. But there is, on Channel 4, for you to observe, where there were families, certain people, different ages, who were invited voluntarily to be interviewed and counseled by this robot. And I won't give too much away, but there was a young couple who sat in the room, and this robot sits on the table. It's sort of, it's got a round face. It looks a jolly sort of thing, you know, smiley. And one of the things it kept asking was, please don't turn away. Will you look at me? I need to see your face, your facial details. I need to see your eyes. And this robot began to interview a young couple in their 20s. And it didn't take long until the robot said to the guy, what are you going to do with, I don't know whether they were engaged or whatever it was, but he said, what are you going to do with regard to your partner that you are having an affair? And of course you can imagine her face, his face. How did that robot know that he was having an affair? And he said, you are having an affair, aren't you? And he tried to, you know, and the robot said, I can read your face. I am picking up your temperature. I can see your eyes. You are lying. And he admitted he was having an affair. And it goes on like that. A family are interviewed. Mother, father, two sons. And the robot doesn't take long till it says to the mother, you are not in the best of health, are you? And the reason being is you're overweight. And you're actually quite concerned about this. And the reason being is, he says, are you binging behind scenes? Do you get up in the night and are you eating whatever? And she had to admit. And she started to well up and cry. And then the robot started to counsel her where to go for help and so forth and everything. Now, the irony of all of this is, they were all interviewed afterwards. When they came away, came out, and what did they say? This is fantastic. This is amazing. They were all positive, even though this robot had exposed things, they just thought it was great. That is what Satan is working on. These are demonic forces. These are very strong demons that are behind this, that are now being unleashed, that are coming forth, that is spoken of in Revelation in these last days. And it is coming through technology. These demonic forces are coming through technology. It reminds me of the Lord in Genesis 6 when he saw the wickedness upon the earth, that man was defiled and everything, sorry that he'd ever made man, and he destroyed the world by the flood of his time. And of course we believe that they were visited by fallen angels that cohabited with women, and giants were upon the land. We believe that that is coming back, but it's being worked through technology this time. And it's demonic in its source. I could go on and on with this. And yet the Christian church is absolutely asleep, blind to all what is going on. And we have to wake up. We know the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. But we have to wake up to this, because the church is being prepared for the last final onslaught. And we know that in the church history, the next great event for the church is going to be for the overcomers, the snatching away, the catching away, before finally all of this is unleashed in its fullness. And for a season, it will look as though Satan, the Antichrist, has succeeded. And there will be, as we know, a great martyrdom of believers. I heard an alarming story. We know that when the Antichrist system fully is in place and they are to bow down and worship the image, those that don't, we know that they're going to bring back execution. And this will probably be subtly done, just like the time of Hitler with the annihilation of the Jews. Most of the world didn't know what's going on. And Satan works in similar ways all the time. And most of the world will not know what's going on, but believers who do not take the mark, who do not bow down, will be executed. And we know in Revelation what it will be. They will be guillotined. Always in Revolution, you find the mode of execution is the removal of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, I've heard, the guillotines that they will produce, they will know those who have the chip and those that won't, and the guillotine won't work. It will recognize. And those who are rebellious, who don't have the mark, will be guillotined. They will program these guillotines.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what is on the horizon. And it is time that we start to wake up. I could go on with this, but I don't want to disturb, because I'm here today to preach the word and to exalt and lift the name of Jesus. Because he is the one who is going to deliver us and save us and bring us through what is coming on the earth. We know very little to what is behind closed doors. And so we stand fast in the power of his might. Now we need to learn our warfare. We need to learn what this armour is about. The same as we need to learn things in life. For example, if we wanted to learn to drive a car, we then have to go for lessons. And we have to learn to drive that vehicle, and we have to get to that standard. Why do they do that? Because a car in the hands of someone who can't drive is a lethal weapon, can kill and maim. So we need to learn. And brothers and sisters, we need to learn what our weapons are and how to use them. Because if they're not used wisely, they can cause damage. Because you are dealing with the name of Jesus. You are dealing with the blood of the Lamb. And we need to know and be taught how to wield our warfare against the powers of darkness. Satan is not stupid.
Yes.
He knows those who stand in the power of God and those who don't. Because you will never ever do this in your own standing, in your own emotions, or whatever. It will never work. You have to know who you are as a believer in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've been giving teaching on this over the last few months. I can see now how the Lord's leading in all of this. Sometimes, you know, when you're preparing things, you know, you get your mind in, you think, well, why am I teaching this? Why is this so important, whatever it is? But you give it a few months and you then begin to see the picture. It starts to unfold what the Lord is preparing us for. Because the Christian church is facing the last final onslaught. It's the last lap of this race that we find ourselves in. Have any of you been watching the Commonwealth Games? You know, well, I love to watch the running because I find it so spiritual. And there'd be some fantastic races. But, you know, it's just like we are. And the last lap and the bell rings. And what is happening at that point, it's going to sort out those who've got enough for that last lap. Yeah. They're up to that point reserving their sort of energy. Mm-hmm. But at that point, they then have to go full. Mm. And they have to believe that they've got enough energy to win that race. Mm-hmm. Same with us, with that oil, the wise virgins, going forth with their vessels filled with oil. It's that last lap. Because we know that the foolish are going to start to find their lights, their lamps are going out. Which means it's the last final lap. Everyone is out at that point. And we have got to believe that the power of God is sufficient enough to make it through. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. Now, if you take heed and you listen to what the Lord is saying, you can't fail. You can't fail. Because one of the things we need to learn is, as believers, that every time we get in prayer, every time we get in warfare, the battle is already won. Nobody else ever in history faces battles like the believer. Because the battle is won. And we know that because Jesus has risen. Satan is under his feet. So he wants us to have that assurance. He wants us to know that when we're praying, whether individually or corporately, Lord, I stand on victory ground. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't feel like it. But I do. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see? Now Satan doesn't like that. He hates us to think that, to experience that. But that is what we need. That is what this idea of standing fast in the power of his might. So, looking at this then, I've given this introduction, and I know it's been quite mind-blowing, but I'm taking this course of teaching very seriously for us. As the Lord has given it to me. And so he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. So up until this point, he's been saying in verse 6, he's been talking about the practical ways of living as he's leading up to the armor of God. So it's a practical life. It's obedience. It's faith. It's trusting the Lord. He's talking about masters. Masters, be good to your slaves. Slaves, be good to your masters. Well, of course, we don't have that today. But that is what he's referring to. So our conduct, the way we treat one another, the way we love one another, is very paramount to experiencing the power of God in our lives. You cannot experience the power of God if you're cruel to someone or unloving to someone. How can you experience the power of God? You cannot be effective for prayer, warfare, or whatever it is. It's completely contrary. So this is what he's reminding here. So this is why he says here, finally. So we've said it all. We've said about, you know, your conduct, your living and whatever. So he's saying, finally, my brethren, well, that's us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So often verse 10 is left out because we want to get into about the armour, what it is, what we put on. But you know that verse 10 is absolutely essential for us to understand. If we put that armour on, we experience that armour. And that's why I'm taking my time with this. And so it comes as the closing of the Apostle's letter, where Paul has carefully established our place in Jesus and how we are to walk. And so he says, finally, and this speaks in light of all he has said. What has he said? Well, let's just, I'm going to remind you, because obviously we've not been studying verse by verse the book of Ephesians, but this is a rough outline of what is there up to this chapter. And he says, in light of, which he's saying finally, in light of, he said, that God, what God has done for you. So in light of, finally, what God has done for you, up to now, today, now, this moment, what he's done for us. And it's good. It's wonderful. It's a blessing that our lives are in Christ. Preserved, kept, redeemed, called from the foundation of the world. We need to think on these things. And secondly, in light of the standing you have in him. He's spoken all about that. So he wants you to know whom you stand in. I don't stand in myself. I put no reliance in myself. No way. I know myself pretty well. I'm going to put my reliance in me. But I am in the one who lives in me, who resides in me. So remember that, he says. And thirdly, in light of the plan he has for you in these last days. So in light of the plan he has for you and I, and we have the call to become overcomers. The plan is that he's going to use you in this final battle. And he has been selecting and selecting and selecting for many years, just like Gideon's army. When all those thousands responded to fight, and God took them down to the waterside, and he said, now watch, Gideon, how they lap of the water. And some lapped with their knees bowed, and they brought the water up to their hands, and some others, they put their heads straight into the water. Well, that doesn't take a lot of discerning, does it? Who would be those that would have their head chopped off or be killed by the sword? Those who are lapping up water with their head laid down in the water. But those who are kneeling and clasping and bringing up the water to their mouth, they're able still to see. And it's how we partake of the word of God. In other words, what we hear, am I applying that wisdom? Do I see the word of God? Is the word of God showing me my enemy? That's the question. Am I listening to this today, and is it exposing the enemy that I may see what he's up to as I partake of this word? And so God reduced that army right down to 300 to fight against the Midianites, which of course looked ridiculous. There were thousands upon thousands of them. But God wrought a miracle through Gideon. And if you don't know the story, you go away and you read how God wrought that miracle. You wouldn't work it out in a million years, but you go away. Because it's so interesting, the story of Gideon. And in many ways, there's such parallel to this today with our walk. And in light of, we're looking at what has been said. He causes you to mature and grow in the faith. And that's what he's doing. As we partake of the solids of the word, so we're growing up into sonship. And we are to inherit our sonship that is there for us. Also, in light of, we are to be filled with the Spirit, meaning to be baptized in the Spirit. That is essential, that sealing over us. And in light of, we're to walk in the Spirit, which again, the baptism is it to work that for us to walk in the Spirit. And finally, to battle and fight in our walk. That is what Paul has been speaking about over these chapters. And so he then says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So what do we understand then to be strong? To be strong in the Lord. Well, it's an interesting word. It means to increase. It also means to be endued. God has given this power to me. I'm endued with it. I'm strengthened. It also means to be bold. It's a boldness that is attached to it. That's the idea, to be strong. Let's look at some scriptures now to get an understanding of this word. Acts chapter 9 and verse 22. Acts chapter 9 and verse 22. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwell in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. So Paul converted, you know, on the road to Damascus, he's converted, and in 3 days he's blinded, and then a disciple comes and prays over him to receive his sight and so forth, and he immediately begins to share who this Jesus is. And so this is the idea, this is the understanding of what this means. Paul increased all the more in strength, in power. He was being empowered. It's a bit like a dynamo. You know, you're revving it up and it's gaining more and more power. And that's what God does with us sometimes. He spiritually revs us up, you know, because it's needed for the times. You say to me, well, I don't feel very empowered and whatever. Well, it may not be the right time yet. Our circumstances don't require it yet. But it will come. There's going to come a time, and our circumstances, God will empower us for those times, that circumstances, when it's needed. When persecution comes, he empowers us for it. You see? So there's always a timing for all of this. Let's also look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. That is the word again. That is the idea. It's always in him, never in ourselves. And finally, Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That, of course, is speaking about faithful Abraham. Wonderful here what it's being said. It's saying that he didn't waver at the promise of God. He didn't waver that God was promising him a son, even in his old age, in unbelief. But he was strengthened in faith. In other words, he was empowered to believe for the impossible. And that's what God's doing with you and I. Is your circumstances impossible? Of course it is. Have you got mountains in front of you? Yes, you have. I have. But what does he say here? He says, I will empower you to believe. I will strengthen you for the task. The task, the walk that God has for each one of us, He has provided the power to overcome in it. And it will be there at that right time, right season, right situation, right circumstances. Now, we don't possibly need that blast of empowerment at the moment. We're here today, sitting down, fellowshipping, listening to the word. Well, you don't need it. What you need is ears and hearts to hear the word of God. But you may find next week, in the course of your walk or whatever it is, you may meet a situation, a trial or whatever it is, and God says, I will empower you for that at this moment. What do we call it? My grace is sufficient. What do we mean by that? My grace is sufficient. It means I'm empowering you for that circumstances at this moment, what you're in. Oh, I don't feel like it. No, you don't. You feel awful. You feel as though everything has failed you. Even your heart, your flesh, everything. You made an absolute mess. He says, my grace is sufficient for you and I'm empowering you right this moment. Got nothing to do. How you feel? That's why I say over and over and over again, this walk has got nothing about feelings, emotions, senses at all. It's about the promise of what God has said to you. And He cannot lie. He doesn't lie. And of course the enemy gets so vocal, doesn't he? Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That is why when we pray for saints to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I always believe the power of God falling on a saint. We know the analogy of it. When you get saved, Jesus is with you. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, He's now in you. That's the nearest analogy I can put of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is what is meant by the power of His might, you see. And that's why Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So often we say to people, be strong, you know, believe in the power of God and so forth. That's what we say humanly, and sometimes, sadly, we can be a bit patronizing. Although even it's true, but that's not what He says, you see. He's saying you are vulnerable when you think you are strong in yourself. That is what He's saying. That is the idea of the power of His might. He's saying you are very vulnerable when you think you stand in your own power, your own intellect, your own strength. He's saying you are very vulnerable in yourself. Wish to God more believers would wake up to this. Because that is what pride does. Pride will say, oh, I can overcome. Pride say, well, I walk with the Lord. Pride says, I'm very devout. I pray twice a day. I read the scriptures. I do everything that God tells me to do. That's what pride does. But they do not realize how vulnerable they are. They believe the devil's lie. You see, Joshua there was one who took over from Moses. And he came to lead the children of Israel. And what did the Lord say to him? We're talking about the power and might of God. Let's turn to the book of Joshua. We all like the book of Joshua, don't we? Let's go to chapter 1, where Moses now has gone. He's gone to the Lord. And let's take it up in verses 6 to 9 of Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance that land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times that word strong is there, he's saying. And where is the strength drawn and provided? Do not depart from the word of God. It is your source. It is where your power comes in order that you can be effective in warfare. You see? It's a realization knowing God is with you. That is what he's really saying to Joshua. He's saying, be strong, everything. I want you to know I am with you. I want you to know personally that I am with you. And we can never, ever settle until we know that experientially. Because otherwise the walk doesn't make sense. It's just a dead letter otherwise. So when you're born again, there's that hunger there. I need to know this is you, Lord. I need to know you are with me in this. Because otherwise you don't move. You don't go. And how often have we said that? I've said it. Lord, I am not moving unless I know you are with me in this. And Lord, so faithful, he shows his presence. He reveals himself. He confirms it and confirms it until you know. The same as he's doing with Joshua. What does Isaiah have to say about this? We're still talking about to be strong in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 to 31. 40, Isaiah 40, 30 to 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Here again is this idea to be strong, to be endued, to increase in power and everything. And what is the key to it? Those that wait on the Lord. Now, of course, he's not saying that we all become monastics and that we all go and join a nunnery or whatever it is, or become a monk or whatever it is. It's not saying that. It's saying, be aware of me. Spend time with me. Don't rush in a situation, but seek me. This is the idea of waiting on God. Yes, we can physically also just withdraw, and sometimes it's right to do so. Jesus withdrew. He was taken into the wilderness for 40 days. And there he had to learn to be endued with power. It's very interesting in the book of Acts, but it says that Jesus went with the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And it says when he came out of it after 40 days, he was empowered by the Spirit in preparation for his ministry. But what for? To be able to stand up against the devil. And so we are finding that God is teaching and preparing us to be able to do the same. Now, you may say to me, oh, Pastor, this sounds crazy. This sounds as though this could never be achieved. You know? What are you talking about? Well, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit. God knows what he's doing. Don't try and work this out. How this is going to happen, when will the battle be, what will it be like, will I see the devil face to face or whatever it be. No. Don't even think like that. We're not up against flesh and blood. We're up against powers, principalities. We can put this into action right now, because I'm asking for prayer from the body to pray for our brothers and sisters in India, because there's a huge amount changing there. They want to, in 2021, make Hinduism as the main religion of India. And all other religions, and of course, they're coming against, of course, the Christians and the Muslims, they will all be outcasts. There will be no provision for them. What they want to do, what they do in that sort of thing, they starve these people out, you see. But they'll bribe them with money to give their lives over to Hinduism. That's what they'll do, because a lot of them are poor. They need our prayers. And I have been encouraging Pastor Danny to get the churches and the pastors to start to pray. And I said, you've got to start to get specific. You've got to start to know the demonic forces that you are dealing with. You need to start to war against Hinduism. Now, Hinduism has many, many gods. They are all forms of gods. So that all needs to be broken. They have many, many shrines and temples there. And these gods there, and half man and half elephant, whatever it is, a lot of this stuff is made out of solid gold. Huge amounts of money go into these dumb idols. I said, you've got to get in warfare over this. You've got to get in warfare over the leaders. I said, come against the finances. Because what is money? Money is power. And Satan so often works through this. Come against the finances that are empowering the army and the police to come against the Christians and so on. Let's be specific in our warfare. And God will show more as well to you. And so, likewise, please take this away as the Lord leads. And get in prayer for our brothers and sisters, what they're facing. Because it's not far away. This is spreading like wildfire throughout the world. And we will find at times, you know, meetings like this may start to become difficult. It's possible. It's possible. And yet so many Christians are asleep to this. They're like those ostriches. They bury their head in the sand, hoping it will go away. It's not going to go away. It is time to wake up, to become a wise virgin, to get that extra vessel of oil in your lamps and your vessels. And what is that oil? It's the oil of anointing. It's preparation. It's getting the word of God into you. Faith. That we start to walk by faith and not by sight, trusting God. Because the arm of the flesh will not be there for the overcomers in the future. Unless you take the mark of the beast. There won't be medical provision unless you take the mark of the beast in time. So we need to start learning now. And you may say to me, oh, Pastor, I know this fear still. When a trial comes or a physical trial, I'm paralyzed by this fear. You know, what's going to happen and everything. Now is the chance to get delivered. Bring it out. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Tell God. We are weak. I tell him my weaknesses. I do. I still have weaknesses, even though I'm preaching this word. But I tell him. I bring it before him. Help me. Strengthen me. Empower me to be able to stand and make that confession. Particularly in the physical one. We need the empowerment. And he will provide. It's there. It's there for us. And here it is. He will renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is how we're to walk for this last final battle. And we will. In the power of his might. Not about us. And so we're looking, aren't we, at this word. The power of his might. And it means his dominion. His strength. It's a work of power. That's what it means. So it means he will empower you for that situation. For that experience. Or when the devil is trying to have a go at you, he will empower you at that point. Now believe that. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what they're saying. The trouble is sometimes your family, your closest ones can be your worst enemy at times. Because they don't understand what God is saying. They're emotional. And they allow those emotions to get in. And so sometimes you have to stand fast. Right in the midst of your family. Sometimes your husband, your wife won't understand you. Because it's not revealed to them. God is showing it to you. For a reason to empower you at that point. Or they'll see it later. But they don't at the time. They tried to stop Jesus going to the cross, the disciples. They became all emotional. God forbid. And we know what the Lord did through Peter. He knew who was speaking through Peter. What wasn't Peter at that point? That was Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savourest not the things of God. Yes, we're up against a spiritual battle. So, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's go back to Ephesians, what we're looking at. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read something here with regard to the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. 15 to 19. Of Ephesians chapter 1. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, the revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened or being opened, in other words, that you may know, that's an experiential knowing, what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness and his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. What a prayer. Eh? Mm. That is what we should pray one for another. Mm. That is what we should be praying in this assembly. Because God's going to answer that. And we know when we pray something like that, we don't doubt it. It's going to happen. I'm praying that you may know the power of God in your life through weakness. That your eyes may be opened. That you will receive revelation in the Word of God. That's my prayer for this church and all those that come into the room. Because I know it's essential. It's so important. Because I know flesh and blood cannot reveal these things. This is so paramount to leading up to putting on the whole armour of God. This is why I'm taking so much time with this. So the power of his mind is his dominion, his strength. It's very God himself, the one who created and made the heavens and the earth and everything. That is the one you are in communication. You are one with. When you look up and see those stars, the myriads, and those stars are suns. And around those stars are solar systems of galaxies. And you can't even count them. And he made that for you to acknowledge and look at that. And I'm one with you, he says. The very power that made all of that is in you as well. How could we doubt? We do, don't we? We do. Oh, we just bow our heads and say, Lord, forgive me. But he's so long-suffering. He's so gentle. He's so patient. He's that farmer getting the field ready to bring in the harvest. You see, we need to understand harvest. In the Bible, they had to give a tenth of everything. And it meant when the field was ready to be harvested, it meant first that the ears, the best of the corn, just the tenth of it was brought in first. And placed on the altar. And what did that represent? It said, this is what's following. This is the best. You are the best. You are the harvest. You are being brought in. This is a sign of what is to come. That's the first fruits. That's what you are destined for. Your sons and daughters of God. You are the first fruits to be put in. This is why we believe in the rapture. This is why you will be snatched and called away. Because God accepts it. And the acceptance is come up. And yet so many Christians don't even see it. Are blinded to it. You've been called to this from the foundation of the world. That's why you don't fit in anywhere. We try to fit in, don't we? You know, we've got friends out in the world and everything, and you have a couple of hours with them, you say, it was pleasant and everything, but let me get away. Because I want to talk about the Lord. You know? And you just find you don't really fit in anywhere. Thank God that we don't. That is telling you something. That God has called you to this. And even our families at times don't want us. We're an embarrassment. Well, praise God. Luke chapter 1. I shall close now with some scriptures to just confirm this to you. Luke chapter 1 and verse 51. And this is the song of Mary to Elizabeth. And in 51 it says, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. So the strength, the power of God, this power that we are talking about today, is to remove the enemy. That is what this is about. No wonder Satan doesn't like it. Because that was Jesus' ministry. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews. chapter 2 and verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. That same power he destroyed the devil at Calvary is the same power that you wield with this armor that we're going to talk about, that destroys, divides Satan's kingdom. Satan in nature is a predator. He has stolen man's dominion. The world, the creation, was made for man to have dominion, and man gave that dominion over through sin to Satan. And he's a predator, and like all predators, they have to be removed. And finally, Revelation 5, verse 13. Revelation 5 and verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's what the Apostle John saw when he received this revelation, and no one was worthy to take up the scroll and open it, only the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was the only one worthy to open this up. And what does it say? Blessing, honor, and glory, and power be unto him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. There you are. That is the power of his might. So, that is what we've been looking at, brothers and sisters. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I have taken time over this today because this is going to lead up toward what this armor is about and the understanding of it. Because if you are not experiencing the power of God, being one with God, then that armor is a waste of time. Don't even bother with it. Because it's ineffectual. It can only be effective with the power of God in your life. And then the whole thing works. You see? It's like, in the army. They can kit you out with all the gear, you know, the helmets, shoes, the camouflage, you know, those waistcoats they wear to protect them from bullets and everything. You can have all of that and kit them out, but there's one thing that's missing. They need a gun, machine gun, whatever it is. They're no good otherwise. They can have all it, they can have most of it, but the real thing they need is that weapon to fight with. And they need the rest of the gear in which to protect them. Mm-hmm. We also, of course, know the analogy of the Roman centurions. The Roman centurions, they were protected, they had the armor, but what really protected them was the shield. That shield covered them completely when they stood there. It covered them completely, and they could just see through. Sometimes they had little holes where they could peer through, but that shield covered them. And so we're going to look at all of that as in the next few weeks, but it is essential to experience and have the power of God, the power of his might. Otherwise, the armor will not mean anything. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the way you are speaking to us, the way you are preparing us, you're training us. Lord, we just know in our spirit, in our heart, that this is the time to move with you. We know we can't bury our heads, and we've done it at times. We try to pretend, Lord. We think, oh, leave it until tomorrow. It's human nature, Father. Forgive us, we've all done this, Lord. But we know that as wise virgins, we have to prepare. We have to prepare now through the word that you are giving us. And Father, we thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, that all you want of us is simply to believe. We may find this maybe so vast, so big, I can't get my head round this. And yet, Lord, all you have asked for is just that mustard seed of faith. We may not fully understand. There may be still a lot that's like going over our heads. But Lord, we know the urgency of the hour that we are living in. And we hear it in the news. And so Lord, help us, strengthen us, revive us. Cause us to rise up in the power of your might and strength to embrace this, to live this, to believe this, Father. And Lord, we know that this has come from you. We know this to be your word, Father, because it's impossible otherwise. Nobody can live it or even attain it. But you have said it's not by might nor by power. It can only be by the Spirit of the living God. And so, Lord, we are your people set apart for your use. Lord, empower us for this. Teach us. Prepare us. Help us, Father. Help us not to run away. Help us, Lord, not to compromise. Help us, Father, to be alert, awake. And Lord, if at times we find it's just you and I going forward, so be it. Whatever it takes, Lord, because we are living in desperate times and you are making us a desperate people. And this is why we know that the overcomers, they take the kingdom by force, by violence, if need be. Because it's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we know that Satan's hold is being broken. He is a predator, he is a thief, he is a murderer. And Lord, his days are becoming short and numbered. And we are rising up in the power and strength of Almighty God. And Lord, we thank you that you will restore. You will come again. We look up as our redemption draws nigh. You are coming to rule and reign on the earth. And Father, we thank you for this.